Thanks so much for tuning in to the Happiness Happens podcast. If you're loving what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I would be so grateful if you could rate and review the show. It takes 2 seconds and it tells me what you're loving and what you're wanting more of. I'm your host, Simona Costantini, and I'm obsessed with understanding what it means to be happy. In 2018, I went through a massive journey and awakening, and I found myself having to relearn who I was and what I really wanted to do with my time on this planet. The truth is, I spent a lot of time looking happy on the outside, but not really feeling the same way on the inside. So I knew there must be other people who felt the exact same way as me, and I've learned along the way that there really are. And now I get to interview them and other thought leaders in the space on my podcast every single week. I'm a recovering people pleaser turned life coach and podcast producer. On this show, we get into what it means to be happy, the purpose and intention behind happiness, how to live a happier life, and we hear about all the hard moments that have shaped people to become resilient and living out their passion every single day. Think of this as your one-stop shop to help you live a more purposeful, inspired life. This is the Happiness Happens podcast. Are you ready to dive into this inspiring conversation? Let's go. I loved the conversation that we're about to have today. I'm so grateful to have met and been connected with Harry through and by means of social media. He is such a bright light, doing so many amazing things in the mental health advocacy space. I think this conversation is so important, especially right now, in the continued crazy times that we have and the continued rise of mental health challenges and struggles that I think a lot of us can relate to as we continue on in this pandemic. I know that I've been very candid about my own mental health struggles on here, and so I can imagine that if you're listening to this, maybe you have too. So this week's episode is all about being less judgmental and supporting mental health. Specifically, we're talking about men's mental health. Specifically, we're talking about men's mental health and suicidal ideation. If this conversation is going to be heavy for you, I really would love for you to listen with someone who could potentially support you through it, or maybe just press pause and come back to it when you're ready, because there are some things that may be triggering in this episode. So I want to ask you before we get into the conversation, have you ever been in a situation where you may have felt extremely overwhelmed and unable to process your emotions? Maybe that's caused you to act a little bit out of alignment with your character. I think we can all relate to that. I know I can for sure. But what happens when those moments become more and more continuous? And the way that you were acting out of alignment with your character is now actually becoming who you are as a person and changing who you are from the inside out. This is kind of what happened to my guest today, Harry. I think you're going to absolutely love him because he is so knowledgeable in this space and he shares very openly and candidly about the mental health challenges that he has faced and the work that he's doing now to help change the narrative. So we are talking about the ever-changing meaning of happiness and how it can be fluid and change all the time. We're talking about how to honor our internal narrative and meet ourselves where we're at right now. We also go into the Mental Corner podcast, which is such an incredible podcast hosted by Harry, and we talk about why it was created to help people who are struggling with mental health right now. We're also talking about his personal struggles that he's faced, as I was mentioning before, and why men may not always be able to easily express their emotions. I think you're going to love this conversation. It is everything that I needed to hear, and even listening to it back as we were going through and preparing the episode to go live, I just honestly fell in love with it all over again. I think you're going to learn so much from Harry, and I'm so grateful that he came on here, shared his time with all of us, and let's get into this conversation because I cannot wait for you to hear it. Hi, Harry. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining me here today. I'm super excited to have you.
I'm pumped to be on. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, we're going to have such a good conversation. I want to dive into so many different areas with you. You have a podcast, The Mental Corner, right?
Yep.
Yes. Perfect. And I want to talk all about that and how it got started. But first, my first question for you is, what is your take on happiness? Like, what does happiness mean to you?
Ooh, okay. And in the right before we press record, you said that question. I was like, man, that's a deep one. I mean, I'm still relatively young, but like my idea of happiness has shifted so much from when I was at my lowest point to now, because I think it was just such a misunderstanding on my part of what happiness really was. So, you know, when I was growing up and I was in these dark places, my version of happiness was like I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be fast in my sport of swimming. I wanted to get the good grades. Basically, everything that I was seeing other people do, I was like, if I can just achieve that, that's happiness to me. Happiness is succeeding like everyone else and fitting in with everyone else. But I think as I've shifted and as I've gone through this self-help journey and through this mental health journey, happiness is kind of, for me now, is just waking up and being okay with who I am, like accepting who I am as a whole. Like before, you know, I hated how I looked. I couldn't look in a mirror, or, you know, I would always quietly bash myself. Like, why are you so dumb? Why, what, you're not that funny. Shut up. Like now it's like, I'm able to wake up and fully accept who I am and not have to feel pressured to, you know, mold who I am or shift who I am to please other people. And I think that's what happiness really means to me currently. It might change later. It probably will. But for right now, it's, you know, being fully accepting of who I am.
I love that. That's a really, really great answer. And it is a hard question to answer, right? Like it's not, because happiness, like in my opinion, it's not like a place, a thing, a it's not even a destination. I don't think I think happiness is kind of like all that you are in the present moment. But again, like my definition of happiness changes every day almost, you know, and like, I have a podcast that's dedicated to talking about happiness. So, but you know, what you said there though, really resonates a lot with me. Like, you know, that you like, didn't like yourself. And that was kind of like the catapult for my own self-healing journeys, but I didn't like myself either. I hated the way that I looked. I hated everything about myself. And I used to be a really like judgmental person, like a really gossipy person. But it wasn't even from a point of like wanting to be that. It was more because I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. So, you know, people tend to talk about other people and you're like, okay, well, for this group of people to like me, like, let me do that too. And it's just such a terrible way to live because you're not even being authentic to yourself, you know?
No, I completely feel that. I personally used to be very judgmental also of people. And I think it was more so a projection of my own insecurities, which they tell you all the time, like, don't listen to what these people who are hating say, because they're just projecting. And you hear that and you're like, ah, shut up. Like, that's not true. It's like, well, it is. Like, I used to be judgmental about people because they were something that I wanted to be. So I was like, oh, they suck. And it's just, I completely feel that.
Yeah. It's so true. It's actually such a good point that you make there. Especially because it's like, that's where it comes from. It's like always wanting what another person has, or like what somebody else has, or what have you, or like, maybe you want to be a little bit more like them, or whatever. So, that's really, really interesting, but I love your definition of happiness right now in this moment. And I think that it's really a beautiful, you know, perspective, and that it's just about being accepting of yourself, which is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to pretend I'm perfect here. You know, like some days I wake up and I'm like, oh, you know, you could lose a little bit more weight, you know, or, you know, you shouldn't have said that one day. Like, I still have these passing thoughts because it's been programmed in my head for so long. But I mean, you know, that's part of life. You know, it's not just straight linear. You're going to have little blips in the road.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. You know what? It's so funny that you say that, because no matter how much work that I've done on myself, I still have this, what's the word I'm looking for? Like even today, I went to the gym today and I was like, you know, now you have to like show your passport, like if you do all of the different things, right? So I walk in the gym and every day I have to like scan this thing, and I'm always running late, and it's like 6:45. Like, who can be on time for a 6:45 class? Apparently everyone else in the class except for me, but that's fine. So anyways, so I go and I'm like showing all of my stuff and whatever. And someone had said to me like, oh, I live like wherever they live. And I was like, like, it's nice. Like, it's really nice there. And they were like, yeah, it's great. And I was like, yeah, it's okay. And I was like, no, but like, I didn't mean to say that. And I have been thinking about that ever since 6:45 this morning.
Yeah. Where you live is meh.
I was like, what a mean thing to say, but like, I didn't even know what I was answering to. And I was like, oh my God, like, I did not mean to make you feel bad. Anyways, it was all fine. Like, nobody felt bad, but you know, it's like those little moments where you're just kind of like, okay, like, I did not mean to say that. And anyways, you just think about it for the rest of your life. And you're like, oh my God, like, did they forgive me? And they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. They're like, I forgave you before you even said it. Like, I don't even know why you're so worried.
Exactly. Okay. So let's get into a little bit about I want to talk about your podcast. I want to talk about where it came from, how it came about, like what's the story behind it?
Yeah. So my podcast came from basically my own personal journey with mental health. And it's a very long-winded journey. Well, not really, I guess. I'm still pretty young. And people who hear that are like, shut up, you're not old, man. But basically, you know, like for most of my life throughout high school, throughout most of university, throughout before high school even, I never really expressed myself to anybody. I was a very emotional guy. I like to think I still am, but I was very emotional. And I didn't like the things that other guys liked, you know, quote unquote. You know, I still have no interest in cars. I didn't really care for, you know, like the boy stuff, you know, I really liked bugs. I really liked Disney movies. Like that was my thing. That's kind of where I found happiness and where I was like comfortable. I liked going into the forest alone and looking for stuff.
Are we the same person? I think we might be the same person.
I actually just did research on you and I'm just talking about you right now.
So did you know that in grade one, I used to raise snails in the school, like school recess? Like I used to bring Tupperware and I used to put grass. I was such an outcast. Like, oh my God. Like if I think I'm like, oh my God, I used to put grass and I would take the snails and I would put them in the thing and I would watch them eat the grass. Like that's all I would do. Yeah. And then when we were kids, my family had, we like lived beside, like it was like all being like developed, like near, like behind or whatever. So there was like lots of ponds and we used to raise tadpoles into frogs.
Yep. No, I think, so you're I think like we would bugs have been friends. And I'm like,
we are the same person.
Yeah. We would have been friends.
Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just couldn't help it. I was like, you're not alone.
Yeah. No, that's perfect because you relate to this. I was the weird bug kid. I was the weird animal kid. Like it was just, I found animals so much more interesting than people.
Yeah, I totally hear you. I'm obsessed with my dog more than most people probably are obsessed with their pets. Like, you know, when you go out with friends, whatever, you're sitting at dinner, like I'm looking at pictures of my dog where other people are looking at pictures of their kid.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Look at my kid. It's like, what?
And they're like, it's fur. Like, you're like, okay.
Oh, you're a parent? I relate so much. No, that's not.
The struggle.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so tough being a parent. They're like, your kid's a dog.
Your kid has four legs. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, okay. No, but so I just never really fit in at first. And, you know, as a kid, when you're different, that's a big target point for other kids. Mm-hmm. So I was bullied a lot in elementary school. I think that's kind of where things started because I was getting bullied so much. Like I still had friends, but I was getting bullied so much for the things that I was interested in. To the point where I was like, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I interested in things that no one else is? And like, why is what I view as interesting so different from everyone else?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of when the self-judgment started in elementary school. And then, you know, right before high school, we had some family complications and I didn't really have anyone to talk to about how I was feeling about anything. And, you know, I would open up to a couple people and I was immediately met with like, you know, how do you think that makes me feel? You know, like you should man up. You shouldn't be feeling that way. Like, stop. Why are you upset right now? Wow. And so, you know, you hear that, you know, 5, 6, 7 different times. Eventually you go, I'm not going to open up anymore. I'm good.
Yeah. I think. All right, then. Thank you.
Thanks. I'm going to keep this to myself now. And so I never really knew how to express how I was feeling because, you know, the conversation's shifting now, which is incredible. But when I was growing up as a kid, guys were never taught how to be sad or how to express how they were. They were never taught how to express being upset properly. And a great example of this was, you know, when I was on my swim team, I was young, I was like 10, 11. And the other older guys that I looked up to for like inspiration and, you know, just for guidance, like in the world of sport, they would have a bad race or they would not be happy with something in practice or something wasn't going their way that day. And they would punch the lockers and they would cuss people out and they'd bang their head on the wall. Like they were very aggressive people. Wow. And so I'm in the change room with all of this. Right. And that's normal. Like that's just the culture that I grew up in. And so I was like, oh, I get it. Because I had been searching for so long on how to express myself. And this is the accepted way of expressing yourself when you're upset. I get it. That's what I'm going to do. And so that's just how I started expressing myself. So whenever I was upset, whenever I was angry, whenever, you know, I wanted to cry, I'd punch lockers, bash my head on the wall, cuss people out. I was labeled a hothead because of this, right? And so that in combination with me going, I'm not going to express myself anymore, it was like a recipe for disaster going forward. So throughout high school, after getting told so many times, like, you shouldn't feel this way, why are you feeling this way? I decided to put all my energy into my friends and family. I was like, as long as they're good, I'm good. I don't need to do the work up here. Like, I'm fine. I got it figured out. In high school, you think you have it figured out. Always. And you just never do.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm so mature.
I'm the smartest person I know.
Literally. But so throughout high school, it was actually okay because I had a lot of distractions. In high school, you're still at home. You've got extracurriculars. Like, I was swimming. I was playing rugby. I was on a leadership board. I had school. Like, I had so many distractions to the point where I couldn't even sit down and do the self-work. Like, I couldn't, even if I wanted to, which was great. I thought it was the best thing. Yeah. So, you know, I would have these outbursts at swim meets and things. So I was labeled the hothead still. But I never really opened up about anything, really. So people just kind of, no one really asked like how I was. It was just kind of like, oh, that's just him. Like, he's got an anger problem. And so, you know, high school, I was okay with it. Well, I wasn't okay with it, but like, I was fine with that label as long as it meant I didn't have to tell people how I was really feeling.
Yeah.
I was like, if they're scared, I'd rather them scared of me than have them think I'm less of a person. So when I got to university, that was the first time I was kind of alone. And for most of us, it's kind of the first time you're alone. And I still had swimming, right? I was on the swim team at university, but there was a lot less distraction. And so that's when I first realized, I was like, there is a lot of stuff going on up here that I don't have the tools to deal with.
Yeah.
And so it was immediately overwhelming. And, you know, to keep it short and sweet, like, the first 3 years of university, I kept having these outbursts and I would have these panic attacks and I would, you know, break my water bottle on the side of the wall if I had a bad race, or I would cuss people out if I had a bad race. Like, it was getting bad. It was boiling over slowly. And, you know, I tried to go to therapy 6 different times and each therapist sucked. Like, straight up, I'm sorry. Like, they were just, we did not connect. And so I just assumed it was me. I just assumed, like, this is how I'm going to be forever. And it's just something that I'm going to have to live with. Like, it's, I don't need help, because help is for crazy people. Mm-hmm. And so in my last year of university was kind of the tipping point. And a lot of this has to, like, I ended a relationship, a long-term relationship in my fourth year. Well, I didn't end it, but it got ended for me.
It was ended for you.
It was ended for me. Oh. But basically that was, you know, and this is a whole different conversation, but I used to find validation in other people. Mm. And so when I got broken up with, it was, I really had to face myself. And I was like, I really do not like who I am. And it's like, it's been like, what, 12? It was 12 years of accumulated stress, anger, self-deprecation, like, so many things. And they finally just came out. And I was like, I should die. Like, that was the conclusion. And, you know, I had tried a couple times prior, but it wasn't anything serious. And, you know, the suicidal ideation, it was minor. It was like, you know, I talk about this a lot. In my first year of university, my residence was the street across from my university. And I would walk across and I would think, like, if I just stepped a little closer to that car, like, and he hit me and I died, what would happen? It's like innocent thoughts like that, right? Like, at the beginning, you're like, ah, this doesn't really mean anything, but then you keep thinking them. And then you really think into detail, like, where's my funeral going to be? Who's going to show up? Like, how would it feel if I really got hit? What angle would I need? And so they started innocent enough, but in my fourth year of university, that's when it really started to get serious. And I tried again. And before that, it was just, it was weird. It's a weird feeling, because I found comfort in the idea of me not wanting to be here anymore. Hmm. Like, whenever I was stressed or upset or anything, I was like, it's okay because I'm going to die soon. So none of this really matters. And it was a weird feeling because it felt like the color in everything was gone. It felt like I was seeing through a gray lens. And I remember there was one time, and I share this story a lot too. This one time we were doing a team cheer for my swim team, and I was the captain and I was leading the cheer, and I was looking around and I was like, yeah, this is my last cheer for sure. It is. Wow. Like, this is it. Yeah. I was dead set on it. And so after I tried, you know, I immediately, for 1 second, it was like a sobering, like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And I thought about my friends and family and the people I love. And I was like, I need to get help. Like, I don't want to die. Like, it's just, there's something that I need help with.
And there's so much pain. And it's like, mm-hmm. there's so much pain and you don't know and have never been taught how to deal with it or where to put it or how to process it. Right. Like, you know, it's really interesting having this conversation with you because, I mean, like in my business, I'm a podcast producer, right? And my client has a podcast dedicated to interviewing younger kids, like, you know, 18 to 23, 24, to talk about these things, suicide, eating disorders, self-harm, like all of this different stuff. And so, I mean, obviously, like I edit her podcast and I listen to the conversations back, but it's so interesting hearing it like firsthand because it's like, it's the common like theme sort of that I've picked up on in listening to all of these conversations is that it's literally like so much pain that just doesn't know where to go. And like, you don't know what to do with it. And like, of course I've never been in that situation. So I have no idea what it's like firsthand, but that's like, it feels like a theme to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. That's, you nailed it right in the head. It's just a lot of pain that you just don't know where to put it. And it's there. Like you have to put it somewhere and you just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then, you know, after that was kind of when I really, you know, kicked my own butt and was like, you're getting that help right now. Hmm. And, you know, I had a lot of help from friends and family. Like I thank them all the time because, you know, without their help, I wouldn't have done it because I'm a very stubborn person. But I finally went to therapy. I found a therapist that worked. I did the medication, the self-help, the everything that was going to work, I did. Hmm. And as I'm going through the recovery process, someone asked me if I wanted to be on a men's only mental health panel at my university to talk about, you know, things, because I had been on like articles for Bellet's Talk Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
For, U Sports, like for the National Sporting Association. Yeah. So they wrote an article about me about depression, but I never really dove into it because I was like, I'm still not ready for people to know that I don't want to live.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like,
explain that to people? Like people don't understand. People are so judgmental in their own world. They're like, what? Like, it's almost it's like you look at people and like you sort of like judge from the outside and it's like, well, you don't look like unwell enough. You don't look sick enough. You don't look in pain enough. It's like, you have no idea.
You're exactly right. Because it's like, well, you're the captain of the swim team. You know, you have a good family. You're not in a financial situation. Like how could you look healthy? It's like, well, I mean, just because I look it doesn't mean I am. But basically, so I did the panel and that was the first time where I was like, I'm going to open up about everything, like everything.
Wow.
And so, you know, I was so nervous.
So powerful.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't feel very powerful before because I was sitting there. I was super nervous. I was shaking and, you know, 300 strangers walked into the room and there were like five other panelists and they were all incredible. And I think I went third. So I was going after these people. I'm like, damn, everyone's so good at this. And there's 300 strangers and a couple people I knew, but the only thoughts that were going through my head were like, cause some swimmers were there. I was like, are they going to view me as less of a captain? Like, are they going to take me seriously? I was like, are people going to view me as less of, you know, a man for opening up about this stuff? Mm-hmm. Are my friends going to view me as less of a friend? Are they going to walk on eggshells around me now because they know this stuff? Yeah. And then more importantly, is everyone going to view me as less of a person because I'm opening up about this stuff? So those are my only concerns.
Just a couple, you know,
just a couple going into this. And so right before I did my presentation, I blacked out. I don't remember saying anything. Like my friend has a recording of it, but I genuinely do not remember saying anything. And I've tried to go back. I did. It was weird.
See, I have a hard time personally. Like I've done a lot of podcast interviews. I talked a lot about my own mental health and all this kind. I've never listened to them back. I don't even listen to my own, like the ones where I talk about my own personal, and I think this is probably something I need to heal within myself. Red flag. Yeah. I don't even edit them myself because I just don't, I'm like, ooh, did I say that? Did I really be honest about that? Like that is courage. I think to listen to it back after recording it. That's amazing. Good for you.
Yeah, no, it was weird because I don't remember it. So it was like, who is talking right now? Because it's not me.
Not me.
But
it looks like me.
Yeah, it looks like me and it sounds like me, but it's not me. So anyway, after that, I came to after I was done. And it's almost like my brain knew that if I had been conscious for it, I wouldn't have done it. So it was like, okay. And so after, you know, it felt like this 3,000 pound weight was lifted off. I was like, well, I mean, it's out there now. So you can judge me how you want. Take it how you want. And basically the reception for weeks afterwards was nothing but positive. And, you know, it was people like, I had no idea. And then it was people who I never knew talking about, like, I went through something like that. My brother did, my dad did, my teammate did, like all of this stuff. And, you know, that cliche you hear all the time, you're never alone. It's a legit thing. There's a reason we have cliches out there. And so that's kind of when I was like, you know what, I want to start a YouTube channel talking about my own experiences, because I've done the hard part. I've opened up about it and I've lived with this for so long. Like, I have no problem sharing it now because I've gotten my foot out the door. And so originally it started with just me sharing my own story and experiences that I've had. And then my buddy who lived in the room across from me, he was like, let me come on for an episode. And he came on and we just talked about, you know, the swimming and the mental aspect of sports and swimming in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was met with good reception too. And I think it was the day after or a couple days after my friend's dad and his dad's friends all came down because it was my buddy's birthday. And we just sat in a room drinking beer, talking about mental health. And they were like in their 50s. And they're like, we don't talk about this. Like this, we never talk about this. And, but then we saw your video and we realized, like, you know, this should be a conversation that we have. That's when I was like, ah, I want to do this because I, like you, hate my own voice. I don't like listening to myself talk. So filming myself talking was excruciating. But I love talking to people and I love hearing other people's stories. And I find a lot of value in all these different angles of life and hearing all of them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's do this because people need this. And so started off as a YouTube show. And then the interviews got very long. They got about an hour to an hour and a half. And people were like, we don't want to be on YouTube that long, man. So I was like, okay, cool. So then I converted it to podcasting.
Yeah.
And here we are.
I love that. I feel like you need like your own series or something.
Oh man, no.
How cool. You're like, no, please stop.
No.
Oh my gosh.
My parents would be like, oh.
Here he goes again. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think that you need to have these conversations. I think that they're so important. And what I appreciate too, from what you're saying, it's like you're breaking down this conversation that has so much taboo and so much secrecy and like hush hush around it. And it's like, you're not letting that live in the dark anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, we're going to talk about it, whether you like it or not, choose to listen in or don't. My own self, like my own person, I'm like definitely the black sheep of my family. I'm like the only one who's like this. So, you know, I don't share a lot of what goes on in my life with the people who I'm around because not everybody understands, you know, and, you know, I really made it a priority in this last little bit to like start having these conversations with different people, like different friends, family members, talking about mental health, because it's like so many people struggle in secrecy by themselves alone. And they feel like they're the only ones who feel this way. And that's literally why I started this podcast. Like 2022 will be 3 years. And literally the goal was just to help people feel less alone. That was the only goal of the podcast. I didn't care how many people listened. I still don't care how many people listen. I mean, it grows and it's great, but like making sure that people feel less alone, it was always so important. And it always made me wonder, like, why is that such an important thing? It's because I felt so alone for so many years. Let's be honest. Like when I look at my life, I had everything you could want. I think I'm decent looking. I have a great family. You know, I've never struggled financially. Like I got into some schools that I wanted to get into, had great friends, like all this stuff on the outside, everything looks perfect, right? How do you start to explain to people that someone who looks on the outside, like they have everything together, there was no outburst, like there was nothing that would have led to people thinking that maybe there'd be something wrong. And I would hear all the time, but like, you're the happiest person we know. And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah,
that is concerning.
Yeah, it's like you don't know very many people.
I know. I'm like, am I the only person you know? out? No, I'm just kidding. But it's very interesting though, too, even coming from like that lens of like having to be that person that everyone thinks is always smiley, always bubbly, always happy. Like it doesn't leave you any space to not feel that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like putting people into boxes where people shouldn't be in boxes.
When people go like, but you have everything. That again reiterates the whole idea that happiness comes externally. You know, I had a pretty damn good life. Like I'm a very fortunate human being and I never take anything for granted, but you know, I was always looking at the things I had as opposed to who I was. Like it, whenever I was upset, I'm like, shut up. You have a roof over your head. Shut up. You know? And like, it's okay to be grateful, right? Like that's a great practice. Practicing gratitude is so important. But to diminish how you're feeling based on what you own and based on, you know, who you're around, like that it's not going to help you in the long run. Like everything starts with you at the end of the day.
I love that. And it's so true. I couldn't agree with you more. And you're right. It does make it so that happiness comes from the external. And that's not necessarily the truth.
Yeah.
I would love to ask you, this last question is one that I ask all my guests when they come on the show. I've loved this conversation so, so, so much. And you have honestly shared so much value with everyone who's listening today. I'm going to make you plug your podcast in just a second. But before we do that, I would love to know your tip or one way that someone could live, you know, a happier life every day starting today.
How do I answer this? I mean, it's a theme that we've talked about the whole episode, right? Like, actually, this is going to be long-winded, but okay. Basically, this is where I'm going to start. I don't know if you watched Dave Chappelle's special. It's like new on Netflix, The Closer. A lot of controversy and I'm not going to get into it, but there's one sentence in that whole thing that made me go, damn. He's talking about his friend who's trans and, you know, he said like, hey, I don't understand what you're going through. Like, I don't understand a thing you're saying. And the trans friend, they said, you know, I don't need you to understand. I just need you to like, what did they say? I just need you to believe that I'm living a human experience. Ooh. And that really hit me because, you know, when you really look at it, we're so judgmental. Like, and we've talked about this in this episode, like we are so judgmental. And I think a lot of that has to do with our own insecurities, but you know, everyone's so afraid to be who they are and to open up about what they believe in and who they really want to be because they're afraid of the external judgment. And so to live that happier life, that's a deep question and it's tough. And I don't think I've lived a happier life than I did when I wanted to end my life, but you know, I'm still trying to figure it out. But I guess the one place to start is to try to find a way where you're so comfortable with yourself and you're so self like assured that you don't care about that external judgment, because we can talk all day about how to get rid of that external judgment and that, you know, racism, homophobia, like anything, external judgment. But at the end of the day, there's going to be people out there who don't like you and don't like what you're doing and will find a way to judge you because they have their own insecurities that they haven't figured out yet.
Yeah.
But if you've found a way to just, you know, look at yourself and be like, you know what I'm doing right now is what I've wanted to do for so long. And it's how I've wanted to express myself for so long. I don't care what they think. If you can find a way to do that and really work at it, then most of the external judgment, some's still going to hurt. Like people say some things, I'm like, damn, that actually cut pretty deep. But that's my one piece of advice, is that that's really how you're going to start to get there anyway.
I love that. And maybe one way you start to get there is just being a little more empathetic with yourself and with other people too. I just think that, you know, and you and I have talked about this before in the past, like through like Instagram and that kind of thing, but just, you know, just to sort of piggyback off of your thought, like there is so much judgment in the world every single day. And, you know, you need to have opposing views and all of this different stuff because that's just what creates a society. But if everyone could look at everyone else's life and experience and, you know, how they were brought up and where they were, like all of those different things are what impact what you know to be true about life. Mm-hmm. So you can't say that someone's opinion is quote unquote wrong because that's true for them. So while you may not agree, you know, there is a certain degree, in my opinion, of empathy that has to come with living a human experience. We have to empathize with the people that are around us. And it doesn't mean that we, you know, just disregard it all and, you know, let people go rogue and do whatever they want to do. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is just by extending a little more kindness to other people, you can feel more of that in your life too.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Thanks for agreeing. Oh my goodness. Harry, thank you so much for being on the show today. Can you share with our listeners where they can find you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm everywhere, but I think my most active is Instagram at the Mental Corner. So if you're listening and anything resonated with you, or you just want to chat, hit me up. I'm pretty active on there. And then my podcast is called the Mental Corner Podcast. It's available wherever you get it. The cover is yellow with me with my arms crossed, with a long ass goatee. So just, yeah, that's where you can find me.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
Honestly, it was so much fun. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening into this week's episode. I hope you loved this conversation. Share it with someone you know needs to hear this message. Tag us on social media. Let us know you're listening. It would totally make my day. And I'm sure it would make your day too, Harry. Just saying.
Oh yeah, 100%.
We love to know who's listening. It's so hard when you have a podcast. You don't get to see who's joining you, right? But in any case, I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it. Well, it looks like we've made it to the end of this episode. I'm so grateful for you tuning into this week's episode, and I cannot wait to see you over on the next one. If you loved this conversation and this topic as much as I did, please feel free to leave us a rating or a review wherever you're listening. It takes just a second, and it is so important for us so that we can make sure to deliver this content to those who need it. I'm wishing you the most beautiful day wherever you are in the world, and remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.